This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Why Russian President Putin's rich associates really don't like these sanctions. I'm David Brancaccio. Sociologists use an intense phrase, social death, when people are seen by society as crossing a line and get shunned. Russian tycoons with ties to President Vladimir Putin are now being shunned not just by the sanctions of nation states, but by many in the elite groups in which the oligarchs had circulated. It's not just about losing yachts or bank accounts. It's also about losing status. Brooke Harrington is a professor of sociology at Dartmouth who has long investigated how the ultra-rich hide money globally. Her book from 2016 is called Capital Without Borders, Wealth Managers and the 1%. Dr. Harrington, welcome.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Quick definition, oligarchs, I mean, not just rich people. We have those, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, but Gates and Musk and Buffett don't have special ties to the Kremlin, which is part of the definition here.
Well, there are oligarchs all over the world. And the difference between, say, a billionaire and an oligarch is that oligarchs don't just have the money, they have the political clout and influence to change the way their government does business or to represent their government's interests abroad, sort of like informal ambassadors.
Now, as a sociologist, you look at these sanctions being applied to Russia and Russians and oligarchs. And it's your sense these will be especially hard for those targeted to swallow?
Well, you can judge by what they started doing as soon as the sanctions were even announced. They were already on television, really angry about being denied access to their Italian villas. And then you had the really astonishing spectacle of household name kind of oligarchs like Oleg Deripaska pleading publicly with Putin to end the invasion. Obviously, they haven't ended the invasion, but just the fact that they felt the need to do that is unprecedented as far as I know.
They're not going to starve, though, under these sanctions. So what do you think makes it so hard for them to process this particular set of sanctions?
Well, part of the payment that you get as an oligarch, especially if you're advancing the interests of Vladimir Putin in the Western democracies, is that you get to be a big player in the international status competition among the jet set of the world. And if sanctions take away your toys, your yachts, your access to your villas, your private planes, you're not just losing the money that those things are worth, you're being cut off from the primary fun of being an oligarch, which is to flaunt it all and to hobnob with the other rich and famous. These oligarchs from Russia are stigmatized now because they are Russian oligarchs, and that is going to hit them hard. The other thing is, what the Panama Papers showed is that many of these oligarchs are holding assets that really belong personally to Vladimir Putin. But Putin himself is smart enough to know that he shouldn't be holding billions of dollars or expensive real estate in his own name, because then he can be punished by having those things seized. So he kind of puts them in different accounts offshore in the names of his closest circle of oligarchs. But those assets really don't belong to the oligarchs. They're Putin's. And the sanctions take away Putin's wealth through that means.
Yeah, for people who don't remember, the Panama Papers was a big data dump from a Panamanian-based law firm that was helping lots of people hide money, often illegally, but not always, all around the world. Now, you use this phrase, social death, that when the oligarchs' reputation has been impacted by their inability now to flaunt their wealth, that really has a cost to them.
It does. And that's a term that goes back to a famous sociologist who was writing in the early 1950s, Irving Goffman. And he described what happens to people who have been publicly humiliated or otherwise stigmatized. And that deep shame and embarrassment that means that you can't show your face in public and even your friends don't want to be seen with you. He describes that as social death. The similar phenomenon can be observed among almost everyone, including oligarchs. You would think that someone who is a billionaire wouldn't give a darn what other people thought of them. But in my 15 years of researching offshore, one of the most surprising things I found was that, if anything, the richer you are, the more thin-skinned you can afford to be. Many of us who aren't rich, if we're insulted or if we lose face somehow in our social circles, we just have to suck it up and deal. But if you're an oligarch, you can sue people for libel, or you can hire full-time staff to keep your name out of negative stories. But this is out of their control, even as oligarchs. And the sanctions both take away their ability to maintain their social status among their peer group of jet setters, but it also marks them with a kind of stigma. And those things together create a sort of social death for them relative to their jet-setting status group.
There's reporting that, for instance, the United Arab Emirates is staying open and welcoming for Russian tycoons. So maybe they'll switch their base of operations. And does it really matter if it's a fancy home in London or a fancy home in Dubai? Or is it different?
It does matter. Because just as among, say, middle school students, a pair of sneakers is not just a pair of sneakers, Offshore holdings for oligarchs are not just offshore holdings. They don't just put them anywhere. And oligarchs from particular countries have particular ways of using offshore to compete with one another. There's a reason that London is colloquially known as Londongrad, because all the cool kids among the Russian oligarchs have to have their houses in Mayfair and Belgravia. So just going to the UAE, that may solve a legal and economic problem, but it doesn't solve the social problem. And that's something that's really important to them.
Now, we see havens like Monaco and Switzerland are going to cooperate on these sanctions. And that's interesting, given the work you've done on your book. They snap to attention.
When I first saw that news about Monaco, my jaw was on the floor because, you know, they're alienating some of their most lucrative customers. But like the US and the UK, nothing too terrible is going to happen if Russian oligarchs stop having their money in those jurisdictions. But Monaco is a very small place. They need those lucrative Russian clients. So it's really an extraordinary move. And it's important, I think, because in the past, sanctions have been applied by individual countries against individual oligarchs. But as long as the attractive other tax havens weren't sanctioning them, they could still status compete and do okay. That's what's new here, is the united front. So that, I think, is going to really make these sanctions bite in a way that previous ones have not.
Brooke Harrington is a sociology professor at Dartmouth College and author of the book Capital Without Borders, Wealth Managers and the 1%. Professor, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Both Reuters and the AP cite unnamed sources saying this morning the U.S. will increase sanctions on Russia for its war on Ukraine by joining other Group of Seven countries in revoking Russia's most favored nation preferential trade status. Russia would then join North Korea and Cuba on the other list. Congress would have to approve, but it looks like the votes are there. We got that high reading on U.S. inflation yesterday, adding in the fresh February data. Consumer prices have gone up 7.9% in a year, and despite a rip-roaring job market, consumer sentiment has fallen to lows not seen since the Great Recession. Later, we'll get a new number from the University of Michigan. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
There is an economic conundrum here. While consumer sentiment is in the dumps, consumer spending has remained strong. One explanation, low unemployment and plentiful jobs.
There has been strong wage growth. The labor market has been supporting spending up to this point.
Kayla Brun at polling firm Morning Consult says the pandemic also plays a role.
Each time there's a surge and then case counts start to go down, there is pent-up demand and eagerness to spend, especially on services that some adults may have been sort of depriving themselves of.
But persistent high inflation may drive consumers to pull back their spending soon, says Brian Mandelbaum at consumer data firm Clover.
They are very nervous about what the future is, and they are trying to save their money.
They won't get any help from gas prices, which have soared even more since Russia invaded Ukraine 2 weeks ago. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Stock markets pointing up. Dow futures are up 425 points, 1.3% now. S&P futures are up 1.5%. With the Fed's big decision now 5 days away, the 10-year interest rate has moved above 2%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
And in the category of there's an idea, the dating app Tinder will now let users do criminal background checks on potential dates, free twice, then $2.50 each. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has that.
Dating apps can be used for all kinds of unsavory and criminal behavior, says Naomi Leeds with victims' rights law firm C.A. Goldberg.
It's cyber stalking, it's threats to disseminate intimate images, it's coercion.
A Pew survey in 2020 found a majority of women don't consider these apps safe. Tracy Breeden was hired by Tinder a year and a half ago to help change that.
My vision is really focused on preventing not just physical harm, but psychological, emotional abuse, harassment.
In addition to background checks, Tinder has added features to verify identity and prompt users to reconsider sending messages that could be seen as harassment. It's the right thing to do and good for business, says Sarah Kunst, a former advisor to dating app Bumble.
For most dating apps, you need supply and demand, right?
If too many women desert these apps, she says, they become less attractive for everyone else. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Thanks, Megan. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold and Jessen Dueler. Our intern is Jarrett Dang. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.